So we are in a series, Book of Acts, continuing what Jesus started. And I can remember Julie and I were engaged to be married. And of course, when you are engaged to be married, there are festivities and parties and everything else. And so Julie got a bridal shower and I got a bachelor, and I'm going to put this in quotes, and I'm going to tell you why I put this in quotes, bachelor party. So, Julie got a bridal shower. I got something very different, a bachelor party. And I don't mean just different that it was guys that were giving me this party. I mean the quality was very different. And so Julie got a bridal shower. They sent out invitations. There were around 75 women and little girls running around with ruffled dresses and women dressed up in their finery. They had decorations. And guys, ladies, you know all about this stuff. But guys, listen up. The decorations, the plates, the napkins, and the plasticware all matched. Yes. Bridal shower. They had gifts. It took Julie probably over an hour to open up all the bridal shower gifts. They had a full luncheon with strawberries dipped in chocolate and a full spread of lunch food. I had a bachelor party. Had it in my friend's basement with cinder block walls. There are around 12 guys sitting around looking at each other because no one had planned anything. The food was potato chips, I lie not to you, potato chips, nothing else, and soda. One guy who was at my party was the only one who gave me a gift, and that was something in a plastic or in a paper bag. He said, here's a gift for you, something for your house. And then something happened. My friend Jeff said, and it was a loser of a party, if you say that. And we were down in this dingy basement, and there was one of those pool tables where all the pool tables warped, and so all the balls all go to the center and everything else like that. And so you couldn't even play pool. I mean, it was just a rough party. But then my friend Jeff said, why don't we go around and say encouraging things to Rob? And guys don't really like that kind of stuff. We don't like to express ourselves all the time, especially expressing ourselves about each other. But my friend suggested it, Jeff suggested it, and now everybody was kind of obliged to do it. And I think guys spoke from their hearts, and they went around, and not everyone spoke, I don't think, but they went around and said encouraging things to me, what I had meant to them, things that I had done that were very meaningful to them. And I'll tell you what, that was worth the price of 3 bridal showers. And I remember the next day being at work, and I could barely even work because I was 6 feet off the ground. And for days after that, I just walked around with this encouragement, these encouraging words in my mind, because we just typically don't do it. We typically don't purposefully go out to encourage people unless a lot of times some people have what's called the spiritual gift of encouragement. And I'll tell you about somebody I knew that had, without a doubt, had the spiritual gift of encouragement, but not everybody has that. And so we don't always purposefully go around encouraging one another. But what I want to do is look at 4, and we're going to extrapolate 4 statements from Barnabas, who is called the son of encouragement. And 4 statements from him, and what we can take away from him as far as his statements on encouragement. And the first one is this. We're going to dive right into it. And the first statement is this: what I have is yours. And so encouragement can be a verbal thing, right? I really appreciate about this about you. When you did that, you did it with such skill, those sort of things. And I don't know how many of you have ever been discouraged and someone has encouraged you. and how meaningful it is. But there's that verbal part of it, but there's also the kind of the physical, the tangible part of it. And we're going to look at Acts 4, and Barnabas basically said, "What I have is yours." And it says in Acts 4, 36 to 37, "Now Joseph," I thought his name was Barnabas. No, his name was Joseph, actually without the H on the end there, and with an S. Joseph, a Levite. So his name was Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth. So he was from a priestly lineage. He was from the island of Cyprus, who is also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. Can you imagine being someone who is so encouraging that you actually get called encouragement in your name? And that's what Barnabas was like. He was such an encourager that they called him the son of encouragement. And it says in verse 37, "And who owned a tract of land and sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now there, excuse me, in Jerusalem was a huge need. Why? Well, there are people who were coming to Jerusalem, got saved, and wanted to stay in Jerusalem under the apostles' teaching. There are people, because of their faith, who were losing their jobs. You see, in Jerusalem, a lot of the livelihood was tied into the temple worship. And as people named the name of Christ, they would actually lose their jobs in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish belief system. There were widows who were coming to Jerusalem, some to spend their last days there. They wanted to be near the temple in their last days. Some had just, their families were not a support system for them. And so you kind of put all that together, and there's a huge amount of need in the early church. And what happened was the believers, Acts 2, 42 to 47, part of that was they were sharing all things in common. And what some of them were doing in Acts 4 were actually selling land and then bringing the proceeds and giving it to the apostles to distribute for the needs of the church. And Barnabas says, "Well, count me in, count me in." And he sold a tract of land, brought it the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so what I have is yours. And so it can be, what, you know, how can we, in like tangible ways, how can we encourage other people? Well, I'll give you my time. I can give you my abilities. I can give you my material resources. And I can remember, as far as time goes, there was a woman who was very close to Julie and I in our church in central New Jersey. Her name was Jeanette. And she knocked on Denise's door. Now, who's Denise? I don't know who Denise is. Denise, what you need to know is Denise was a mother of five. And her husband was off to work, and she was raising five children, a very much a full-time job. And Jeanette, with her time, took a scrub bucket, scrub brushes, cleaning materials, and without Denise knowing it, knocked on Denise's door. And Denise opened the door, and she said, "I think the Lord's telling me that you need help, and I'm here to clean." And with that, you can imagine the reaction. Denise broke down and cried and just could not believe that Jeanette would do this thing for her. So Jeanette was giving of her time to encourage Denise. Abilities. And we have people around here who do this, but abilities. Richard at our church, again, our church in near Trenton, New Jersey, we had an aging facility, aging property. But, you know, with HVAC systems and everything, electrical systems, plumbing systems, everything, a lot of stuff was failing at this church. And Richard could do anything. He could fix a car. He could fix an electrical system. He could fix a, you know, just you go down the line, and he had just this ability to do so many things. And he literally, with his abilities, encouraged the church by what? By holding this aging church together. And he would literally be there sometimes at midnight. No one would know what Richard was doing, but the Lord knew. The Lord knew that he was giving of his abilities to encourage the church by helping to maintain the church and fix it up. And then you think of how we give of our material possessions. and we give to the Lord through the offering plate. But we can also, I don't know if any of you have been, ever been on the receiving end of it. Julie and I have, and it has been hugely encouraging where someone says, you know, I would like to give this to you. And sometimes it's monetary, sometimes it's something else, sometimes it's something tangible, physical. But I can remember taking a group of students, high school students, down to Ensenada, Mexico. And we were down there for 10 days on a missions trip. And part of that missions trip was to do work project. And so the work project that we had was to put a new roof on a widow's house. Now, she is a widow. She had cancer. She had her daughter living with her, and she had her granddaughter living with her. And there was not much ability to communicate. She spoke Spanish. She did not speak English. I took 5 years of Spanish in junior high and high school and do not have much to show for it, okay? And so my Spanish was very rudimentary. And I don't know her faith story or if she trusted in Christ, but what I do know is that there was a widow in Ensenada, Mexico, who had a who had cancer, who had a daughter and a granddaughter, who had a leaky roof that was literally drenching her house. When we walked away from there, the Lord blessed our project and we were able to give her a dry house. And so there was that material encouragement. And so we can encourage others in what I have is yours with my time, my abilities, and my material resources. Here's the second one. And we're going to see this as Barnabas is with Saul. He or she is with me. And I don't know if you've ever gone into a strange situation where you didn't know anybody, or you moved into a new place, you didn't know anybody, and someone took you under their wing and took care of you and introduced you to people. And that's a very meaningful thing. But this is Barnabas again. He, she is with me. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, this is Saul. Remember in verse or chapter 13, this is when Saul's name changes over to Paul, but he's still referred to as Saul right now. Okay? And so when he, Saul, came to Jerusalem, he is trying to associate with the disciples. Now, Saul, if you remember the story that we talked about a couple weeks ago, Saul was on the road to Damascus, a literal city. The Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He blinded him. Saul was saved. He went into Damascus, and when he received his sight through Ananias, he began immediately to preach the Lord Jesus. And immediately he was persecuted for his faith. And so what happened was he went then down to Jerusalem, and guess what? Persecuted again. And he was trying to associate with the church. And the church is saying, not this guy. This guy is Saul. He's like the guy who's killing people. He's like the guy who's throwing believers in the prison. He's like the guy who's getting people beaten. And I want nothing to do with him. And it took Barnabas coming alongside Saul. And he said, guess what, guys? I want to tell you his story. He's okay. He's with me. And Barnabas was very much instrumental in Saul coming into the church at Jerusalem. So we can befriend somebody. We can defend somebody. I remember, and this is going to be very simple terms. It's not going to be in this monumental level of Saul, but just in very practical terms, he or she is with me. I can remember when we moved down to, I took a pastoral position down in the Houston area of Texas. And I can remember my daughter Amanda was going into sixth grade. Very tough time to move. But we were moving her actually halfway through the school year. So it's not even she gets to begin the school year with a kind of a clean slate. She moved into the area halfway through the school year. And I can remember she went into middle school and was having a rough go of it. And there was a girl named Bethany who was from our church who also went to her school and took Amanda under her wing and introduced her to her friends and helped her kind of get acclimated. And I can remember soon after we had moved, Amanda was at the school and she comes up to her locker. It was her birthday, and Bethany had decorated her locker with birthday decorations, with happy birthday theme. And so Bethany befriended Amanda and was a huge encouragement to her as she got acclimated into middle school. Here she is with me, befriending, defending. And then we have an intermission, and we see, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And what was happening was with the Acts 8:1 scattering of the church started moving largely northward. And we're going to put up a map that's going to show you some of the areas that some of the cities that the church moved into. And one of them was Antioch. Now, Antioch was around 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And as the church moved into Antioch, we pick it up here and it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. So Barnabas is sent from Jerusalem around 300 miles north to go up to Antioch to encourage them, to also help organize some things, to help, just be with them as some sort of a representative of the church in Jerusalem. So here is where we see the church spreading to. You can see down at the bottom there, they started off in Jerusalem and they spread to Phoenicia. On the left there, you can see it. They spread to Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, and they spread to Antioch. And so those are some of the churches, as this persecution happened, God ordained, I believe, that he was saying, you guys are commanded, Acts 1:8, to go into Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts, and you're kind of camping out in Jerusalem. And so God in Acts 8:1 actually allowed persecution where the church said, we need to get out of here, and that's how they actually spread up into these other areas. Then we pick it up here. Keep going. Have you ever been the one who was tiring out in your faith or were discouraged, and there's someone in your life? Think of those significant people in your lives, even parents, maybe siblings, maybe friends, maybe neighbors, maybe people at the church, who you were tiring out, and someone came alongside you and said, you know what? Keep going. You can do it. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. You can do it. And Barnabas, once again, was that person. And it says in Acts 11 now, we jump forward, and it says, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced. Now, if you look at the beginning of chapter 11, we see a lot of critics of Gentiles being saved. We talked last week about how much the Gentiles were hated by the Jews. And so when the Jews found out about the salvation of the Gentiles, at first they had a rough time with the good news of Jesus Christ expanding out to the Gentiles. But Barnabas, what happened when he heard the news? He rejoiced. Oh, this is a great thing, going out to the Gentiles. He rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Let me read that one more time. He rejoiced and he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. And Scripture compares the Christian life to many things. And I think if we would open it up, you could name some metaphors, some analogies of what Scripture talks about the Christian life being. I can think of three, especially in the writings of Paul, but of being a race that you are running, of being a boxing match, of you being in the military. Why are those three analogies used? Why not the analogy of sitting in an orchard? Why is it these three analogies? And it's largely because the Christian life is very difficult. You not only have the everyday in and out struggle of life, finances, children, what government does, everything else under the sun, but you have a target painted on your back we call the enemy, the adversary, Satan, who wants to take you down, who has given you special attention to bring your Christian life down. And so the Christian life is not, I don't know if I'm informing you of something you didn't know before. The Christian life is not easy. And so many times we can tire out and we can say, you know what, it's just not worth it. Or I'm not seeing or hearing from God. And I don't know, man, I'm just not so sure if he's even paying attention to me. And that person comes into our life who encourages us and says, you know what, God is alive and well. He's on his throne. He is at work. Keep going. You can do it. Keep doing it. Now, I want to bring up a verse from 2 Corinthians because I think this is so significant to this principle of keep going. And it says, now it's kind of a tongue twister. So I'm going to read it through and then we're going to look at it. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. And this has been very meaningful to me. This whole first chapter of 2 Corinthians is very meaningful. It just has a huge amount of significance. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Okay, here, pick this up. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, that's a bit of a tongue twister. But let me put it this way. We go through trials. We go through rough times. God is our comfort, and he comforts us. And then when we see someone else going through a similar trial, we say, oh, I've been through that. I want to comfort you with the comfort that I received from God. And so many times when we say keep going, how many, you know, in your life or in my life, how many times is it just so significant when someone said, not just keep going, but I've been in your situation. And I want to encourage you that the Lord carried me through this situation, and he can do the same for you. Divorced? I've been there, done that. The Lord will carry you through. Financial issues? The Lord will carry you through. Loss of a job? I've been there. The Lord will carry you through. A really rough go of it with your neighbors? I've been there. The Lord will carry you through. All those things. We talk about how 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4 say, when someone has been there, done that, and they comfort you to keep going, and they've been there, it's significant. And so I can think of an example of this, the keep going kind of thing. And I was down in a church serving on the pastoral staff, and I was having a real rough go of my time there. And I can remember I was having doubts about my career, my employment, and everything. And there was a man who was a mentor to me. Very much he was in my small group, but he was about 15 years further down the road in having children, 15 years further down the road in life experience. And he was a mentor to me. And I remember that he talked about, he was not a pastor, but he had been in the business world for a long time in sales. And he said to me, I got the sales job one time, and he said the epitome of how bad this company was to work for was they gave me a company car, and they said, oh, by the way, it's on its third transmission. And he said, you know, just kind of this epitomizes the company that I was working for. And he said, but you know, it got better. And I knew the company that he was working for after that, and it was a very good company. Things got better for him. So as he comforted me and encouraged me in what I was going through, and he said, I've been there, done that, things get better. It was very significant for me. And guess what? Things got better. Then we have another segue, another footnote. Here's a footnote on Barnabas. If you want to know some of the inner workings of an encourager, it is this, for he was a good man, so he was morally upright. It's hard to be encouraged by somebody if you're questioning their motives. Why are you encouraging? Why are you walking this with? Do you have ulterior motives? Are you trying to get me to sell Amway or something here? You know, what are you doing? He was a good man, morally upright. He is full of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, he is being obedient to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And just like Jeanette, who knocked on the door of Denise, guided by the Lord. So many times we kind of had this leading by the Lord that person right there needs encouragement. Go talk to them. Get into a deeper conversation with them and of faith. And I don't know if you've ever met somebody who has the gift of faith or is someone of faith and they encourage you. It's a world of difference. Someone of faith and they believe the best of what the Lord is guiding us into. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And so that's talking about the church at Antioch. The last one is this. Get in the game. Get in the game. Acts 11. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. So here's Barnabas. He's leaving for Tarsus. He's going to travel west from Antioch. He's going to go into Tarsus and he's going to look for Saul. And what was happening was there was so much growth happening at the church of Antioch that Barnabas said, I need help. He said, you know what? A lot of people are questioning Saul, and he has been sent away from Jerusalem to Tarsus because he's going through all this persecution for naming the name of Christ. I believe in Saul, and I need to bring him into the action that's happening at Antioch. And so that Greek word for to look for, that's not just, you know, you kind of go to Tarsus and you, oh, hey, Saul, you know, let's come with me. To look for is to go through a extravagant, significant process in trying to find somebody. They're difficult to find. And so he looked high and low and finally found Saul. And he said to Saul, you know, you're doing some great things here, but there is the mainstream that you need to get into over here in Antioch. And so can you imagine if Paul, had not gotten into the mainstream, would we have 13 books of the New Testament that Paul wrote? Would we have the three missionary journeys and the spread of the gospel to all sorts of regions, including Rome? Would we have that? We have the Paul, but we also have the Barnabas who encouraged him and said, get into the mainstream. And so get into the game. Barnabas found and encouraged Saul in waiting and brought him to Antioch. And the Lord used Saul greatly. But without a Barnabas, would there be a apostle Paul? And so what I have is yours. He or she is with me. Keep going and get in the game. What I have is yours. There are time, abilities, and material possessions that I actually want to offer to you or to a group of people or to a church or to an organization to encourage them. He or she is with me. I'm going to defend you and even befriend you in your journey through life. Keep going. You're tiring out. You're living a Christian life and it's wearing you down. Keep going. You can do it. I've been there, done that. I've gone through what you've gone through. Keep going and get in the game. You might feel sidelined. You might be sidelined, but the Lord wants to use you. And let me encourage you. Let me even acknowledge your spiritual gifts that the Lord wants to use and get in the game. I can remember just kind of in closing, a closing thought. Somebody with the gift of encouragement was a guy named Jim. And Jim, you really could not, and present tense, you cannot talk with Jim without a positive bent on whatever you're going through or whatever you're saying is going to get a positive bent. He has the gift of encouragement. And I can remember in 1993, my father passed away, pancreatic cancer. And I remember Jim, whose father had passed away years before that, came to me and said something that to this day, how many years later from 1990, 27 years later from 1993, still sticks with me. And he said, you know what? You're going right now, you're going through the bitterness of your father's death. You're going through the sting of your father's death. But let me tell you something. Eventually, the sting wears off and there's only fond memories. There's only fond memories. And here's somebody who had been through his father's death who is reaching out to encourage me and said something to me that to this day is an encouragement. And I found to be absolutely true. Jim had the gift of encouragement. So encouraging one another. What I have is yours. He or she is with me. Keep going. Get in the game. Continuing what Jesus started.